Hello, everyone. Welcome to the You Unleashed podcast with Femi Akinyemi, the podcast where we consistently look to share ideas, thoughts, and concepts around how you can unleash your best self and take yourself to the next level. Sometimes it's just me, and sometimes I get some amazing guests who can share their personal experience, life story, or just some real coaching techniques they have to come and share these tips with you to make all the difference in the world. So what have we got this week? This week, I've got a special guest. I've got Brendan Watt. He is a worldwide speaker, best-selling author, and Access Consciousness, a global empowerment company present in 176 countries. And his classes and workshops empower others to know they are not wrong and that anything is possible and that they are just one choice away from change. He specializes in helping others to overcome addiction as he too walks the path of recovery and sobriety. So, Brendan, great to have you. Welcome to the Unleashed podcast. And thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. How are you, my friend?
Hello, my friend. I'm great. Thank you for having me here. You know, and it's interesting, actually, just hearing you read the name of this podcast. I actually just recalled I did this call a while back that was called Unleashing You. So you
it's
know,
a thing, Unleashed. Thing.
Get you out there.
So hopefully you remember us even more. But thanks for coming. You know what? Normally I try to go into these things quite organically and kind of go nice, but I'm going to go straight in. As I was reading your profile, one of the things that came to me was you said you help others overcome addiction. And the obvious addictions, when we all think of addictions, are some of the more sort of vices that the world thinks of a lot, some of the more sort of vices that have real negative connotations around them, addiction to drugs, addiction to porn, addiction to stealing, all those things. But with the way the world is going, addiction is a much more broader term, isn't it? Addiction could be anything. You could be addicted to anything, can't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the way I look at it is, yeah, you do have your bigger ones. You know, like for me, it was alcohol, but also thousands of other things, which was basically anything that I used to take me out of being present in any moment. You know, so we've got like social media. You look at that, I realize how much I even grab my phone and I'm like, what am I doing? I don't require my phone right now. You know, but it's also to take me away from being present in the moment. So, yeah, it is a huge topic. And I think it really became bigger with the whole COVID thing. I think people started realizing
that. Yeah, that's more. True. That's true. Because then all of a sudden we've got this free time on our hands and you haven't got to go into the office, the commute time, which if you commute, it takes you away from some of these vices. But now that that's not there anymore and you're just at home, people started to find out that there were a lot of things that we do to take ourselves from having to deal with the reality of life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. And also the thing that I found also with people and also looking at it myself was taking me away from really getting to know me. And I think that's been a big part of my journey is getting even in the dirty piles that you don't want to get in, you know, and really looking at who am I? Like, who do I truly desire to be in this world? And then where am I not being that? You know, what am I using to not be that? And I think for a lot of us, that's we've used a lot of distraction to take us away from that, you know, to create ourselves as something that we think we should be, not something that we actually desire to be.
So why do you think a lot of us are scared of getting down dirty, looking at who we should be, what we should be? Why are we afraid to confront that? Because I suspect a bit of it has to do with we know we're falling short of the mark of who we should truly be. And there's a bit of shame or a bit of regret or there's a whole bunch of feelings that's stopping us from looking at it and going, I'm not hitting the mark.
Yeah, well, and you never can. As long as you're using judgment as the source for comparison to others, for example. Like if you look if you look around you and go, well, I'm not as good at this person as this person at this, I'm not as good as this person at this, and you're always in comparison, then you're always in judgment. So we really eliminate the choice out of our world with that, to look at what gift we actually are. But also for me, one of the things that helps me a lot is I grew up extremely sensitive to the world around me. You know, so much awareness of everything going on around me that I was like, well, how do I deal with all of that? So I think for a lot of us who are kind of different, or kind of know this, you're like, well, I think there's something really different about me. You know, that thing you want to kind of hide from the world. Well, it's we tend to try and get away from that rather than seek that out and actually recognize that's the gift. And in that, it may be uncomfortable to look at, but also it's only uncomfortable to look at because you can't define it the way that you've been taught to define things. So I'd say coming out of that is, you know,
is that sort of what led you to your own addiction, which is rather than confront this reality of yourself, you started to escape into alcohol, and for some others, it's other stuff, right?
Definitely. Well, alcohol is was my Achilles, you know, but I knew I always had a problem with it from the first drink I had. I think I was 14 at the time, and you know, I was with friends, and they were like, you know, we had one beer, and they were like, okay, let's go and do something, and I'd be like, I want another one, you know. And there was always a need in my world for more. But so I actually had a good friend of mine a while back when I was beginning my sobriety journey. He asked me, what did it feel like when you took that first drink? And I went, wow. And I actually looked at that and kind of tapped into that energy of what it was like as that 14-year-old kid. And I was like, you know what? I finally felt like I belonged. And I think I see that with a lot of us too, who take up addiction and different things, is it's like, wow, it gives me this sense that I actually fit in.
Interesting. So being part of a crowd and not having to stand alone by yourself.
Yeah. And that's, I see that as one of the things that tends to be people's greatest fear is,
and this alone can go into anything, right? If it's being an entrepreneur, it's following your dreams, following your goals, your purpose. At some point, if you want to do that, you can't look for approval from others. You've just got to embrace this purpose. And for a lot of us, when you get to a certain age in life, you don't want to do that. If anything, you want to more than ever. When you're young, you're a teenager, you want to be in a peer group, but then there's always a need as human beings to be part of a social group, right? But when you get to a certain age, being different is the last thing you want to do, because then people think you're foolish, you're reckless, you're not wise, you're irresponsible and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So how do you advise people to embrace that?
Well, I would say, first of all, start tapping into what you'd actually like your life to be like in 5 years, in 10 years, and start getting a sense of that. Because, see, for me, one of the things was that unwillingness to be as different as I am, or the unwillingness to stand alone, the unwillingness to really be unleashed and set myself free and actually have all of that creativity that I know I have available, was that in order to do that without doing that, like with holding myself back, I knew it was killing me, which was another thing with the alcohol, you know. So we tend to, it's like, yeah, but that next step, it seems so big or something like that. I would say for people looking at that is like, take the step. Take a step and ask, okay, what could I be or do different today that would create my life as something that would be.
So it's almost like you take it one step at a time, right?
Well, definitely one step at a time, but also learn from that step. You know, one of the things we talk about in the work that I do is every choice you make creates awareness, each and every choice. So if you're willing to make the choice and go, okay, rather than look for, okay, what's the right choice that I can make here? How am I going to be a success based on the way everybody else chooses it? Is choosing something and then going, okay, so what awareness?
When you say awareness, you mean I take a step. How did that feel? How did that make me feel? How did that set me free? Did that make me feel closer to the person I was created to be?
Well, yeah, and also what did it create? You know, because we've all made choices. Like I've made way too many where I knew it wasn't going to turn out great. I knew it wasn't going to create more for my life, but I made it anyway. And then see, because here's the next step. If you're willing to have on this journey of yours, have one of the big demands be a lot of kindness for yourself.
It's almost like you're reading my notes, because I was going to ask,
yeah,
how does this tie into kindness to self? So since you're ready there, carry on. Kindness to self.
Yeah. Man, I would say kindness to self is getting out of judgment. You know, really looking at that difference of what truly would I like to have as my life and living, and following your dreams. And even if one of the things I like to do, which is kind of sounds weird, but whatever, but it's like, but I like to kind of tap into the energy that I had when I was a kid, you know, when everything was about the miracles of life, when it was about what's out there, like in that total wonder of the universe is, you know, that kind of thing. And so kindness is a huge element with this, because if you can have that with choice, then you can look at your choice and go, okay, that didn't turn out. I knew it wasn't going to turn out. I chose it.
So you mean
anyway.
It's almost like
what am I
being able to
of
forgive
now?
Yourself, being grace towards yourself. You know, you try something, it doesn't work, and go, you know what, Femi, Brendan, it's okay. I've tried, it didn't work, or it tried, it worked, and you move on and not holding on to stuff.
Yeah, that's a huge gift. I mean, the more you're willing to let go of the past and not have it define you, the more you're actually able to step into something different.
It's true, but I also kind of, if I'm one of the listeners, they're thinking as well, those past, they were traumatic, and that's why they're not easy to let go of. You're fired from a job, or you a bad breakup, a divorce or something. These things really, really leave a scar on you. So it's not easy to let go. So how do you let go, right?
Well, good question. And that thing of forgiving yourself and actually getting to allowance of yourself, where it's recognizing, okay, see, well, let me say this. One of the big gifts that I got many years ago was the recognition that my life was a sum total of the choices that I'd made. And I was like, because see, I had a lot of abuse. I grew up really poor. I grew up in around things that kids shouldn't have to go through. So I do get that, you know, I do get that part of it. But when I realized that I had choices with the way that I was handling it, and choices with what I was using it to create as my life, then I went, oh, okay, I'm actually choosing to be a victim with all of this. That acknowledgement alone was a gift, because then I could start
getting out of it. You know, when you use the word victim, the world today, everybody, look, victims, there are victims, but and I don't want to in any way say diminish their hurt or their pain, but there's a lot of people as well who very quickly want to define themselves as victims for whatever reason. And it's a big problem in the world today, right? Yeah. Which is, instead of sort of looking inwards and kind of choosing to press on, they just go, I'm a victim, and they get stuck.
Yeah. And the thing that gets them stuck is the lie that they're a victim. And that's what, this is a great tool, because this has helped me a lot throughout my life is, and I apologize if I speak over you. I'm losing sound.
I can hear you quite well. Can you hear me quite well?
A little bit. Okay, cool. I can, and then it kind of chops out. But so the thing I was saying, though, a great tool with this is recognize that anything that sticks you, there's some lie there that you're not acknowledging. So for me, the thing being stuck in victim was the lie was that I was a victim. The lie was that I didn't have a different choice. The lie was that I was powerless because of it. So when you're willing to recognize the lie and go, oh, okay, that's a lie, then you can actually get yourself out of it. Indeed. The truth will always
set you free. And you've got to confront that truth. And yes, you are in pain. Yes, yeah. You've been through stuff, but also nobody can get you out of it but you. Only you can stand up and say, I've had enough. I make a choice. I choose to be free. I choose to start afresh. I choose to forgive myself, right?
Yeah, and also there's a thing that we do with that as well where it's like, well, I have to do this on my own, which is true to a degree because you're the only one that can actually choose something different. But also we have a whole universe that's willing to contribute to us. So for me, what I do is it's like recognize, yeah, I'm the only one that can make the choice, but hey, universe, will you please assist me with this? Can I please get some clarity with this, some ease with this? Give me some direction. And you begin to ask a question rather than come to a conclusion of what can't change. And that's the thing that is so
it opens you up. You just become open.
It blows me away every time.
You become open to if you're a person of faith, you become open to the spirit leading you. And if you're not, you become open to the universe kind of directing you and what's coming, right?
Well, the more you're willing to be in question, the more you can actually receive. So, yeah, that openness is the willingness to receive something different also.
That's true. So, which brings me to the other question, which is a good one of your things you're quite keen, you talk a lot about, is how to take others' point of view, not personally. Now, this is a hard one because all of us know secretly people's point of view or feedback hurts us. So how do you not take people's point of view personally? How can you not when someone gives you direct feedback or says something directly about you?
Well, that you can recognize, okay, what are they actually saying this for? You know, and ask that question, are they actually judging me to create some control over me? And see, the only thing that can allow you to be controlled by other people's points of view, for example, is if you've aligned and agreed with it or if you're in resistance and reaction to it. So if somebody, you know, says to me, oh my God, you're a total asshole or you're an alcoholic, you know, or whatever, and has the judgment of that, which is one of the things I've had to be present with as well, I can, if I have that point of view about myself already, then I can align and agree with it, which means I'm stuck. If I have that point of view about me already, but I don't want to see it, then I can resist and react to it and put myself into fight, which means I'm stuck. If I don't have a point of view about it and just go, oh, okay, cool, that's your point of view, what's my point of view about myself? Then I don't have to be the effect of it. And a great way to get there is all those points of view that come up, every time they come up, interesting point of view, I have that point of view. You know, and say that in your head if it's with yourself, or I mean out loud if it's with yourself, but in your head if it's around other people, you know, because the more you're willing to be an interesting point of view, the less.
So what you're saying is when someone gives you feedback about yourself, you go, okay, interesting point of view. And that puts it in neutral because it doesn't make it negative and it doesn't make it positive.
Yeah. Good way of putting it. Exactly right. Doesn't make it negative, doesn't make it positive, which means you don't have to be in judgment of it.
And mentally, it means it's interesting, but you now give yourself the time to process and decide what you do with that information.
Well, yeah, and you don't have to go into fight either. You actually have choice because for a lot of us, we see our choices are to fight or to not fight, you know, to resist or to react or to align and to agree. And it's like, it's good or it's bad. It's like, we've got these two choice universe rather than the question of what can I actually
do? And that's super powerful. And that's one of the big things I've learned from this session already, which is very quickly, it allows you, because feedback is constantly being thrown at us. People are constantly saying things about us. And if we just go interesting point of view very quickly, yeah. it just parks it. It's almost like it just parks it to one side. And then that's a very good way for you to just go, yeah, I'm not doing anything with that. Or and it doesn't penetrate into your subconscious, which is where all the damage takes place, right?
Well, yeah, it's all the stuff that we hold on to, you know, and like you said before, the stuff that we take so personally, because somewhere in your world, you've yeah. already aligned and agreed with that point of view. So this is, again, that inward journey of looking at, wow, you know, one of the things I had to look at with myself was, what is my point of view about myself? You know, what do I actually think about me? And for basically my whole life, it had always been that I'm less than, that I'm never going to be enough, you know, all of these different things that I'd adopted as points of view that were basically running my life.
No, that's true. That's true. No, that's a powerful one. And I thank you for that, because that's something that even I can use in my day-to-day. Imagine I was having a session where I was working with a client and she's just been throwing all sorts of negative feedback. I've been going through a period where I've been really busy, so I've not been able to give this client as much attention, and they've just been throwing negative feedback on me. And you know how when you get that feedback on a Friday and it plays with you throughout the weekend? So it's kind of been messing with me. And if I'd had that tool to just go, okay, interesting feedback, it would have meant that I would have not had to do the fight or flight. So I spent the whole weekend going, 1 minute I'm fighting, the next it's a flight, fight, flight, fight, flight, fight, flight. And in the end, it just made the weekend a mess. Whereas if I'd just gone, interesting feedback, I'll take that on board, thank you. It just allows me to just neutralize it. And it doesn't put me in that, it puts me in that third place, which is, it's feedback. Some of it's useful, some of it's not so useful. And it allows me to put it in context and decide what I do with that feedback.
Well, and that's the other thing too, is it allows you to be in question. So if for anyone listening, I would say, like, even with what you're talking about, with having a situation with a person in your life, say, for example, even, you know, we've all had relationships, you know, and you might have fight and stuff going on, is that tool. Interesting point of view, I have this point of view. But then also, interesting point of view, they have this point of view. And then interesting point of view, I have the point of view, they have this point of view. Because a lot of us go into this thing also of going, well, they're saying this because, or they're doing this because, you know, we've got this whole universe created.
It allows you to not take it personal, which is what triggered this conversation. But also for the other person, when you say interesting point of view, for them as well, all of a sudden because you're not fight or flight either, it doesn't escalate into a conflict between you and the other person as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and you can actually create the freedom for you with it. But then with that, with your willingness to not go into fight with it, they have nothing to fight against. When someone doesn't have something to fight against, the fight eventually dies.
Someone else to fight with.
Or they find somebody else to fight.
So that's really useful, which brings me to my next question, which is acting over hoping. I mean, on the face of it, that seems obvious. But when you say acting over hoping is one of the topics you're quite interested in, am I right to say it just means just do it, or is there more to it than that?
No, I think you're pretty much onto it there. Most of us use wishing and hoping as a way to replace choosing and taking action. You know, so it's like if you look at one of the big topics in the world at the moment is money. You know, a lot of people have got financial struggle. So it's like, and, you know, I wish this would change. I hope this eventually changes rather than what action could I take today that would change this? What could I be or do different today that would change this? What choices do I have that I could make that would change this? You know, because I think we can all relate to it, where we've gone, the thing of, I hope this turns out just fine, which is, you've already decided the way you think you want it to turn out and the way that you know it can't necessarily, but it's like, but action is the only thing that's actually going to get you.
Hope is not a strategy, as they say, right? Yeah.
No, it's not a very good one. Not a very good one at all. From many years of trying it, no, I would say it's not a very good
strategy.
So your life
journey would be in alcoholic sobriety. For you, what was the turning moment for you then?
Oh, the turning moment for me was I started getting a sense that the alcohol had gotten basically out of control, you know, and I couldn't really stop. And so a few years ago, I started, you know, trying to stop in vain. You know, I'd go a few weeks without it and started getting a little bit of help, but still didn't really want to change it. Like, I remember the first time that I think I read it in a book that it was basically the only way that you're going to change this is total abstinence from alcohol. And I was like, no alcohol ever. You know, that was horrifying to me. So, but as I kept moving with that, you know, and I tried doing it all on my own, I thought, no, I can handle this. I can handle this. But I didn't really want to look at the roots of it. I didn't really want to look at the source of it. And eventually it just beginning of last year, it kind of bubbled over and, you know, I drank to a point where I was kind of gone. And I realized in that moment, if I don't get some help, if I don't actually get honest with myself with this, I'm not going to have a future.
Yeah.
And that was a tough thing to look at.
Rock bottom that a lot of people refer to it as.
Yeah, yeah, and each and every one of us have our own when it comes to something like that. You know, I was actually talking with a girl yesterday because, you know, now people reach out to me and be like, hey, I'm struggling with alcohol. And, you know, so I'll give them some tools and kind of be there to support in the way that I can. But this girl that I was talking to, she keeps doing basically what I was doing. You know, so my question to her was, so you haven't found your bottom yet? And she was like, no, apparently not. But it's like for her, she's seeking out that bottom as her knowing that she needs to hit it in the way that she needs to in order to make a different choice.
And so for a lot of us who have money addiction, procrastination addiction, digital device addiction, many addictions that stop us from chasing our purpose and our goal, rather than dig until we get to rock bottom, is there anything we can do? Is there any advice, tips you have for us?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I would say definitely don't go for rock bottom. You know, that seems to be some ideal that I know for me it created a lot of awareness, but it's not something you have to get to as if it's the motivation that you need to create the strength in your world to move forward. I would say begin going to question with everything. You know, so if you're looking at, let's say, money, for example, is what am I actually choosing this for? You know, and start with questions and just notice the things. And this is the thing for me with unleashing you and getting really looking inward with yourself is getting brutally honest with you. So it's not about, because you could have told me 2 years ago, hey, you have a problem with alcohol. And I would have said, Femi, I don't want to hear it because I don't want to look at it. So it's like, so this is, you're the only
one.
You've
got to have that moment of reflect. You have to reflect, question everything and reflect and be honest with yourself. It's not easy.
Yeah, and that's it's not easy.
I mean, I found that sometimes you have that feeling and then sometimes it disappears. And you've got to find a way when you're going through a moment of that feeling. You've got to find a way to stay in that place where you challenge yourself, because you could have a day or two and after that you're back to who you were. And carry on with your life. And that feeling, when it comes, how do you sort of hold on to it?
Well, I would say, see, one of the things we talk about too is we tend to use our feelings a lot against ourselves. So we'll be like, rather than, you know, once we've decided we're feeling a certain way, then basically we're stuck with feeling that way. I would say with that, ask a question like, what am I actually perceiving here that I've decided I'm feeling? Because see, one of the first tools I got actually when I found Access Consciousness 13 years ago now was 98% of your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions don't actually belong to you. You pick them up from the world around you. And when I heard that, I went, oh my God, that explains my life. Because I wondered why I could be happy one moment and then depressed the next. Or I could be happy and feel like get that sense of me one moment, and then the next moment I'd be angry or I'd be upset or, you know, whatever else was going on. And so with that, I recognize, wow, I've just been extremely aware. So great tool is for every thought, feeling, and emotion that comes up, you want to ask, who does this belong to? And if it lightens up at all, then it's
and
not
that's
actually yours.
One of the things a lot of people say is you don't trust your feelings because your feelings, you don't know where they've come from. They're misconceptions, judgments, biases. They could have come from anywhere. So don't trust them.
Yeah. And that's a good point. It's don't trust them, but also don't let them dictate your choices. You know, because for a lot of us will use, I don't want to do this because I don't feel like it, or I don't feel good today. If you don't let your feelings determine what you will and will not choose, your life will take off because now it's, well, I'm choosing it anyway. You know what? I don't feel comfortable doing this interview, or I don't feel comfortable exposing this part of myself, or I don't feel. It's like if you were willing to go, okay, if it wasn't about the feelings, what do I actually know? Then you're going to have a more of a sense of what you can actually generate and create with your life. Shout.
I've enjoyed this so much. So what is the last question I have really, which I think is quite useful, is so for people who kind of want to sense what their purpose is, what their direction, where they should be headed. So you know you're not quite who you want to be, what you should be doing, but you don't know who it should be or what you should be doing. How do you advise people to dig into themselves to find out where or who or what they should be doing or who they are?
You know, it's such a great question because that was one of the things I struggled with too. I was like, I have no idea what I want my life to be like. I have no idea what to create. But basically, a couple of things is look around and see what other people choose. And rather than try and compare yourself to that, you could ask, okay, would that be fun to have in my life? Would that be fun to live like that? You know, and start getting a sense energetically what you would like in your life, because we've got to recognize it's all about the energetics of it. Getting a sense of what you'd like your life to be like energetically is a big key, because we've all done the thing of going, well, if I had the money, I'd be happy. And then you get the money and you're like, I'm miserable. Nothing changed. Or if I had the relationship, the perfect relationship, I'll be happy. You get the relationship and all you do is argue and you're miserable. It's not about it's not trying to find something outside of you to fulfill you. It's about recognizing it's you being you that's going to fulfill you. So the other thing with this too is start kind of just getting a bit still with yourself and ask, okay, if I had a magical wand and could create my life as anything, what would that be? Start getting a sense of what you would like that to be. So at least now you begin to have something to ask for. And then you can start asking, okay, what can I be or do today that would actually give me more awareness of what would be true for me? What I'd actually like to create.
So it's almost like step one, look around you, try and visualize what that life, their lives are like, and try and close your eyes, be still, and imagine yourself living that life. And if it makes a smile, if it brings an energy to you, then you know there's something there. If it doesn't, you know, you've got to keep looking.
Well, I would say that thing with that you said with if it smiles, if you smile, it kind of gives you that sense of that energy. Great way of looking at it, because one of the things we talk about also is what's true for you will always make you lighter, always. What's not true for you is all what's a lie in your world is always going to make you heavier. So once you start trusting that lightness and going, oh, you know what, this choice that I'm about to make, it really matches the energy of that life that I'm starting to get a sense of. I'm going to choose that. And you start choosing based on what you are aware of that's true for you.
Absolutely.
Your life will begin to expand.
That's so profound. I mean, we could just keep talking and talking and talking and talking and we couldn't stop. We've got to get you on again. So where do we find out more about you? Where do we find out more? Where can people find out more from you if they're interested?
I would say check out my website. It's brendanwatt.com. But also check out Access Consciousness. Google it, accessconsciousness.com. It's phenomenal with the tools that are available. It's just, I mean, I wouldn't be here.
Brilliant.
Honestly, I wouldn't be here without it.
Hmm.
You know, I wouldn't be who I am.
So what's your parting message? So a lot of our guests are people who listen to our podcast because they want to be motivated, they want to be inspired, they want someone to help them understand how they unlock their next level. What is your parting message for everyone?
I would say look for what it is you truly desire to have as your life and go for it, regardless of what other people think of it. You know, get clear on what that is, even if it is uncomfortable to look at, even if it's, you know, gets a little hard to look at, is get clear on that so you actually have some sense of what you are capable of. And then I would say, go for it. Brilliant. Don't let anyone stop you.
I'll take that to heart as well. Brendan, thank you so much. You heard it all. There's a lot of great stuff we spoke about. But for me personally, if I reflect, one of the big things for me is, number one, question everything. Number two, when someone gives you feedback, tell yourself, that's interesting. Number three is look around you and visualize and see if that's the life you wanted. If it makes you smile, you know you're onto something. Those are three of the powerful feedback of the lessons we've learned from this podcast. But there's so, so, so much more. And it's been great having Brendan here to share these tips. So I do hope you found it useful. Take it to heart. Go for it. Visualize yourself living the life you want. Every feedback you get, question it and say it's interesting, but think deeper about it. And above all, don't just hope, act, and it'll make all the difference. Get unleashed, stay unleashed. And thanks, Brendan, for coming.